Welcome to Nachyomi of the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Esther Schupp, and today we will continue our study of the Book of Job, focusing on the 18th chapter, in which Bildad presents his speech in the second round of the dialogues. We will examine two divergent approaches to the four opening verses of Bildad's speech. The first view is summarized by Aharon Kaminka. In response to Eov's outcry and protestation at his friend's insulting insinuations, Bildad reproves his colleagues for taking such a harsh approach. He seems to be siding with Eov as he begins by admonishing his friends for their pointed and hurtful slurs as they discuss the problems of rampant physical and moral evil. Ad anata simun kinsei lemilin, tavinu ve'achar nedaber. Ramban and Metsudot interpret kinsei lemilin as verbal thorns, kotzim, and will translate this verse, till when will you insert verbal thorns into your words? Comprehend what Eov is saying, and then we will discuss it. They take note that these verses are addressed to a group, as all the verbs are in plural, something that the English translation often obscures. The next verse is also in plural, and therefore Kaminka suggests that Bildad is cleverly including himself with Eov as he speaks to Eliphaz and Zophar, asking rhetorically, Madua necheshavnu kevehema? Nitmeinu be'enechem? Why are we regarded as cattle and considered stupid in your sight? After feigning to be a sympathetic listener, siding with his suffering friend, Bildad turns to Eov and tries to calm him down, warning him that his unchecked anger, even if he is right, is dangerously self-consuming. Toref nafsho be'apo, halemeancha ta'azev aretz v'yetak tzu mimkomo. You that tear yourself in your anger, shall the earth be forsaken for you? Or shall the rock be moved from its place? In contrast, the second approach is based on Rashi's interpretation of kinsei as the end from the root ketz v'sof, and will translate the opening verses as Bildad's admonishment addressed to Eov as well as his two colleagues. When will you put an end to this babble? Be sensible, and then we can talk. Why are we regarded as cattle and considered stupid in your sight? Malbim accepts Rashi's translation and elaborates, adding that Bildad is furious with Eov's thesis, buried in a deluge of words. Eov revealed that he denies or doubts the immortality of the human soul. If there is no eternity to the neshama, then there is no meaning to the biblical assertion that Hashem created the human being in his own image and breathed into the inert body a living soul that can reason and make conscious choices. What was the point of man's superior intellect and capacity for abstract thought? Was it only to make him painfully aware of his mortality, conscious that he's really no different than the lowest of the beasts? In the first round, we heard that based on his personal experience, Eov began to consider whether God had abandoned his creation and handed the face of humanity to blind natural forces. Thus, success or failure are not correlated to virtue or vice. But in the second round, Eov focused on why wicked people succeed. Bildad notices that Eov defines success in this world as prosperity and physical pleasure. He seems to be ignoring the rewards of the spiritual satisfaction and enlightenment in this world and the next, which is reserved only for those who are virtuous. Undoubtedly, evil people might accumulate wealth and power, but their immoral acts condemn them to eternal death. In contrast, the good deeds of tzaddikim and their forbearance, despite the injustices in this world, earn them eternal life of sublime joy that overrides any suffering they may have endured on earth. Accordingly, Bildad asserts in the fourth verse, Toraf nafsho be'apo halema'ancha te'azev aretz v'ye'atak tzur mimkomo. Rashi explains that Bildad is thereby warning Eov. You're destroying your soul by giving free rein to your anger against God. And adds, do you imagine that your personal grievance will cause God to change the order of the universe? Ye'atek tzur mimkomo. Rashi defines tzur as the yotzer, the creator. Mitzudot clarifies this statement. Just because you claim that your suffering is undeserved, while vile and violent criminals seem to be living the good life, we cannot conclude that Hashem has abandoned this world. Therefore, Bildad proceeds to describe the fate of the wicked, even if they temporarily seem serene and successful. Gam or sha'im yid'ach, ve'lo yigash viv isho. The lamp of the wicked man is snuffed out. The flame of his fire stops burning. Eventually, the light of the wicked is extinguished. Their souls are destroyed along with their bodies. And even before they die out, they become entrapped in their own evil plots, as he describes in verse 8. Kishulach bereshet beraglav, ve'al shvacha yithalach. His feet are entrapped as he walks unwittingly into the pit. Bildad then continues to discuss the inevitable consequences of immoral and cruel behavior in verses 11 and 12. Saviv va'atuhu bilahot, ve'hefitzuhu leraglav. Yehi rav ono ve'ed nachon letzal'o. Terrors surround the wicked and troubles them at every step. Hunger depletes their strength and calamity waits for them to stumble. Ralbag clarifies Bildad's contention that the Rasha is punished not only beyond the grave, but retribution begins while he is still alive on earth, as his body consumes itself. Yochal badei oro, yochal badav bechor mavet. Disease eats their skin, death devours their limbs. Dante's Inferno is clearly based on this description of hellish retribution, as the wicked man is dragged from his home by a demonic force. Yenatek me'ohalo miftacho, ve'tatzidehu lemelech belahot, tishkon be'ohalo miblilo yezore, anavehu gofrit. The wicked are torn from the security of their homes and are brought down to the king of terrors. The homes of the wicked will burn down. Burning sulfur rains on their houses. Bildad argues that the wicked who defy moral law destroy their own lives while they wreak havoc in their communities and in their families. And in the wake of the destruction, they leave no worthy legacy, having eradicated any vestige or memory that they have ever lived. In verses 16 through 19, Mitachat shorshav yivashu, umimal yimel tziro, zichro avad meni aretz, velo shem lo al pnei chutz. Yehidfuhu meor el choshech, umitevel yenidehu. לא נין לו, ולא נכד בעמו, ואין שריד במגוריו. Their roots will dry up and their branches will wither. All memory of their existence will fade from the earth. No one will remember their names. They will be thrust from light into darkness, driven from the world. They will have neither children nor grandchildren, nor any survivor in the place where they lived. There is much truth in Bildad's description of the consequences of amoral behavior, characteristic of those who have abandoned fealty to God's laws. We've been witness to the outcomes of social disintegration that follows the abandonment of a defined set of immutable values. We've seen the chaos and polarization that occurs when social norms give way to radical individualism, and what is morally good and virtuous is considered a matter of taste and personal preference. When egotistical concerns and instant gratification override responsibility to family and to community, human life becomes cheap. Unbridled selfishness, unrestrained and unprincipled pursuit of pleasure or of profit have been proven to engender chaos, rampant unhappiness and suicide, and the eventual downfall of once powerful cultures and empires. However, there is a false implication in Bildad's thesis. His description of the fate of the wicked also portrays, quite accurately, Iov's present situation. Number one, his fortune has been wiped out. Number two, his family line has been extinguished. If he dies now, there will be no remnant, no memory or memorial to his existence. Number three, his disease is consuming his flesh as he scratches his burning, itching skin. If this was supposed to be the fate of Rashaim, are we to conclude that Iov must be a Rasha as well? So it would seem, according to the closing verses of this chapter. Al yomo nashamu achronim, v'kadmonim achazu sa'ar, ach eile mishkenot avel, v'ze makom lo yada el. Mitzudot explains, seeing what happened in his day, those who witnessed the downfall of Iov will be astonished. And those who knew him before the calamity and had seen him at the height of his success, they will be appalled and will shake as if taken by a storm and will have to conclude, ah, these must have been the dwelling places of evil. And this place must have belonged to someone who knew not God. Thank you for learning with me. Thank you for studying together. Le'ilui Nishmat, Rose Foreman, Razel Rochel Bat Arya Leib, and for Rachel Zeitlin, Rochel Bat Shlomo, Alehen HaShalom.